And you're here to share with us your reflections on love and learning. And I just want to mention again, you have lovelifelearningcenter.com. And I was mentioning that you were a Manhattan clinical psychologist, psychoanalyst, and founder of the Love Life Learning Center online. And I would love for you maybe just to give us a little intro as to what that is all about.
Yes, there's a personal reason and a professional one. And the personal one was that I met my wife, and it took 6 years to marry her.
Wow, 6 years.
I didn't know why, so I began to look inside, do a little growing and thinking about love and love life stuff, and that grew into the professional reason, which is over the course of my career, I've noticed that the relationship between love and mental illness and treatment is mm-hmm. a very important relationship. So eventually it evolved into an understanding that it's not just love, it's the relationship that we form to contain that love, to grow that love, preserve that love. That's where the idea of a learning center came mm-hmm. about, because I think that there are some ideas, some principles of love, for example, that are important to understand in order to make love healthy. And that's the relationship part. So since April of 2012, I built a website, and it's been growing. And I try to post on some of these ideas, some of these principles of love. For example, I'll give you an example of one.
Sure, we'd love to hear.
Our families of origin teach us about love, mm-hmm. How to love and how to receive love. And I think it's important to understand what they've taught us and whether or not it's healthy and should be preserved, or whether or not it should be changed. And I find that to be a very important principle when it comes to working with people's love lives.
True. True. And I think what's so great is that, you know, the internet now, we can reach out to people all over the world.
Oh, definitely.
And we don't even have to leave our office, and we can connect with and touch them like you do. You do.
Uh-huh. I really enjoyed, one of the things I've enjoyed tremendously is answering commentary from people around the world, mm-hmm. From different countries, and trying to understand a little bit about, what they're talking about from their perspective.
Cultural aspects. Yeah.
Cultures oftentimes affect love life experience. So, but it's been wonderful to get all kinds of feedback on some of the posts that I've written about. And other doctors are starting, other psychologists are starting to become interested in writing for us. So it's expanding. It's very exciting.
I think that's wonderful. And of course, you know, love is something that everybody can relate to. We've all experienced the feelings of love at least once in our life, and if we're lucky, even more. And so I guess some of the just things I'm going to throw out there, and Roro, if you've got some questions too about love, is, you know, you're mentioning, I mean, there's, I believe, healthy relationships and not so healthy relationships, and I've been in both. And but you know, they don't always, or I don't think they start out unhealthy, but they become unhealthy. Now, would you say that when somebody is in love, it's hard to leave, even though you find out now that maybe it's not the healthiest relationship? I mean, how do you turn off your heart,
That's a big question. If you realize that, in my opinion, if you realize that the relationship is unhealthy, then there may be a grieving experience coming up. Mm. To understand that you can fall in love and it's not the right time for that love to occur, mm-hmm. I think that happens commonly. But if it's not the right time, then you have to realize that. And if you've been with someone and the relationship becomes unhealthy, I think there'll be an experience of loss, and that's why I said grieving. That's another another one of those invariant principles, I think, being able to grieve, since grief is the flip side of love. It's not hate. You know, commonly people think of hate as the flip side of love. It's really grief, because being able to let go of love when you have to,
I would think,
allows you to love more comfortably. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know you can endure the loss of love, you can grieve the loss. The experience of love doesn't freak you out as much, so to speak.
That's interesting, because just for my own personal, situation, is that I am actually very gun shy right now about taking the plunge again, and because of just some of the unhealthy, relationships or experiences that I've had, I just feel like I love my friends, I love my guy friends, my girlfriends. I almost feel like I can be content living the rest of my life just having these really close relationships, but I am so afraid to fall in love again, to get to that point where I become, which I feel is maybe weaker, helpless, I'm not in control.
There's a certain amount of vulnerability that's necessary in order to be in love. And you have to be able to trust that you can deal with what happens when you're in love. I mean, since you can't control, none of us can really control that emotion. The best we can do is to form a healthy relationship to contain that love, to grow it, to nurture it.
It's a sensory.
When you said gun shy, I reacted to the word gun. It's a big word nowadays.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And when we pair it with love, it's like the imagery I got was that there's something dangerous about it, and you're explaining it.
Yes.
That it feels like it's an endless pit, or it's something you get lost in and you can't find your bearings, or you lose yourself in love. I think that's a big problem for a lot of people.
Okay,
I know in my practice I commonly work with people who have a fear of losing themselves in love. And a treatment that's very effective for that particular problem is to help people define their experience of love in love a little bit more clearly for themselves, because I think there's a certain amount of individuality that's necessary to hang on to when you're in a relationship. We commonly think of love as, people merging into one, and there's a selflessness about it, and I think that imagery is important and definitely has a place, but it's also important to bring one's unique individuality into a love relationship as well. That's a resource. That's a point of intimacy with another human being. And I think it's important to preserve that. So already we have, what a paradox. We lose ourselves and we find ourselves in love. So it's like, that's why it's really crazy stuff.
It's really crazy, yeah.
It is. Now, I think it would be fun to go into the song Love Me Tender right now. So hold the line. Roro, do you have a question for the doctor about love and relationships? And perhaps, because what's nice is we've got a different perspective here. I mean, I'm looking at love one way. You're looking at love another,
We have three coasts of perspective here. We have New York.
Exactly.
And Texas.
That's good.
See, I'm from Texas, so we have the third coast here, too. So.
Where's the third coast?
Texas, the Gulf of Mexico. We call that the third coast.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Well, what we were touching on just a second ago, when a woman asks a man straight out, why do you love me? My answer, I can name a million things. I can tell her, love is the most important thing a human being could want more than gold in this universe, and sometimes that still does not seem to be the right answer. Telling her how beautiful her eyes are, the touch of her skin, the smell of her hair. Those are the kind of things I feel like I want to say. But nowadays, some of the women have heard that a lot. See, the thing is, and I want to ask you seriously, does a woman ever get tired of hearing that she's beautiful?
No.
No? Okay.
Anybody I've met.
Well, the thing is, if they hear it all their life, does it...
Secretly, men like to find out that they're handsome and be told they're handsome as well.
Well, yeah, and that does feel good.
Hush.
I like to feel like I'm the very first one that ever told a certain woman that.
Well, but you are, because it's coming from you, so that is the first.
There you go.
That's true. That is so true.
That's a good answer. I like that.
There's a uniqueness. That's what love is all about, uniqueness of individuals. I mean, when you love someone, you can't replace them.
That's right.
True.
True love is just you can't substitute it.
They're never the same.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. So, you know what's really interesting, Dr. Jordan, is that I watch the reality show The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and I believe, you know, this one guy starts out with 25 women that he narrows it down, and within 6 weeks, he's proposing down on his knee to one of these women. Or you know, flip side, The Bachelorette, same thing. She's got 25 guys to choose from, and after 6 weeks, she's hoping that the guy will propose to her.
6 weeks. That's good. That's fast.
6 weeks. It's unbelievable. Okay, believe you me, I did that once. Not on the show, but that was my one and only marriage. We got engaged and got married within 3 months. But, you know, it didn't last. I mean, we're friends, and I hung in there for 10 years. But now I look back, and it was definitely puppy love, and it was you know, different. But maybe every decade, it's, you know, I experience a different, deeper sensation to and meaning for that. But I guess my question would be is, what do you in all these shows, they're always saying, you know, when they get down to the final two, they're having such a struggle, and then they end up, you know, picking one. And I'm thinking, how can that be? I can only be in love. I can love a lot of people, but I can only be in love with one person. And to me, that's so different. So I don't understand how these shows, they couldn't from one day to the next say, oh, I know now that it's you and not this other person who yesterday I was saying I could see both of you being my wife or my husband. So and then they say, well, you know, we have to take a leap of faith. And I'm thinking, OK, six weeks. And actually, when I say 6 weeks, it's really only six dates that these people are having with each other. So the leap of faith, I mean, what do you think about the whole leap of faith thing? I mean, it's either there for me or it's not. Leap of faith. Are you kidding? If there's a leap of faith, I'm not going. I'm not jumping. I don't like heights. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I think part of the problem is, you know, what kind of model you want to use. If you believe in love growing slowly over time, or it hits you like a truck, I think that's going to matter. I think that this is a combination of the two. You can be hit like a truck and want to get to know the person that you're interested in over time. So there's that variable. But I think that love does you. You don't do love.
Yeah.
Love does you. Love is an emergent internal experience you cannot control. It comes, and unfortunately, it can leave on its own.
Yeah.
And the best we can do is take care of it. But we can't control it. And the idea of picking someone in the hopes that love will be there, I think that's the leap of faith.
Right.
I think that when you're in love, and that's why they call it falling in love. I mean, look at the imagery. You fall down.
True.
You lose control.
From the leap of faith.
I never thought about that before.
And that's why, you know, oftentimes in the poetry and in the stories of love, love drives people crazy. It doesn't fit into the routinized life that we lead and the way we like to be in control of our lives. It really is a risk.
How about
to go with love?
How about when, let's say as a guy, and there's that woman out there that you really want. She may not, you know, really feel the same way, but you still dream about her and wish that she'd be yours and everything like that. I think there's a phrase that we use in Texas that it'd be like a dog that finally caught a car. What would you do with it? You know what I mean? You know, so, I mean, the feeling has to be mutual. You have to want that. I mean, because it's empty love. If you chose a higher power to say, hey, make her love me, and that happened.
Oh, you said, you know, empty's the word.
Yeah, it'd be very empty, I think.
Yeah, I think that can be a source of a lot of misery down the pike.
Exactly.
I think that, you know, oftentimes people, unfortunately, they sort of, what they hope for and what they want blinds them a bit to what's actually in front of them. And that's a big problem. I know when I used to work with couples a lot privately in my practice, that was oftentimes a difficulty, you know, the expectations that people bring.
True.
Oftentimes they're blinding. And then after a few years in the relationship, you really get a look at who you're with, and there's disappointment, and sometimes it's too hard to get past.
True. And you know what I was just thinking is, I think I've gotten into this scenario of I end up getting a crush on somebody. And, you know, it's they're usually the unattainable ones. For example, when I was younger, Gosh, you know, I had a crush on George Lucas for the longest time.
Who hasn't? Come on. Doctor, am I right? You love the sci-fi? Yes. Who hasn't?
Jeez. Let me get my son in here. He'll
yeah,
hear that.
Him and Gene Roddenberry.
That's cute. Right? And then the past five, I don't know if it's four years, how long has it been? Maybe 5 years. The past 5 years, it's been Harry Connick Jr. And I think there's something fun about that for me because I can go into my own little fantasy world about, you know, in my mind, he's perfect. I mean, when I see him on the screen, you know, I see him in the films, I've seen him in concert, you know, we've even had a moment together. But it's just, I think carrying this feeling around is, I don't know what to call, what is that feeling that I love, that people prefer to have the fantasy love opposed to the one up close and personal.
Dream state. I think it's a dream state.
Dream
state.
Hey, that's good. Dream, idealized love, dreaming. I mean, you're not. It's like a honeymoon. Think of a honeymoon.
Yeah.
When you can have a honeymoon and not be married to someone. You can experience the honeymoon. Say, I mean, they say 1 year. You know, 1 year, the first year. That's a common time, a timeline. 1 year. You're in love. Your fantasy is coming true. You don't notice anything that is not compatible with your fantasy. That, I think that's the dream you're talking about. The dream. You're focused on only the good, and you're discounting what doesn't fit. And that's the honeymoon. And then after the honeymoon, the reality comes seeping in, you know?
Right.
I don't like the fact that he or she doesn't put the cap on the toothpaste or something else.
You know what? One thing I will admit is I've never had a problem with the small stuff. It's only been the big stuff, like if he cheats on me. I mean, there's a lot of other big stuff that I won't mention.
Right, that's good.
It's only an hour.
You do the small stuff and the big stuff.
Yeah. So what I don't understand is when a man says that he is in love with you, how can he go off and cheat? Is he really in love with you if he can go off and cheat?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm getting all upset here.
I tend to think that when I love you comes out and cheating comes with it, mm-hmm. that the I love you was a bit of a manipulation.
Okay.
Sometimes people are given I love yous like they're given tranquilizers.
Mm.
In order to be quiet, to not notice other things, to be satisfied with how much they're getting, and the cheating is easier.
Do you believe into the I guess people would say that, you know, as far as a man is concerned, it's more primal than in instinct versus the emotions that a woman feels.
Primal? Are you talking about cheating?
I'm talking about cheating. I'm talking about the urge to, as I would put it, and not that I do this, please, but, you know, conquer. Okay,
conquer.
You have the one, and you still want the hunt. You know,
yeah.
you feel like you want to know for yourself. Just as a woman wants to know she's still beautiful, a man wants to know that he's still desired by women, so he'll go for that hunt. And I believe that's a part of it. Diana, I could love you with all my heart and everything, but I still want to know the lady across the street still likes me, too.
Yes. You know, I tend to put an age issue into that.
Yes.
I think that younger men are big in conquering.
Mm-hmm.
Conquering is important, the male ego. Oftentimes it's very powerful earlier on. I think something happens to a man as time goes along. Oftentimes he mellows.
He gets beat
he
down.
He appreciates relationship a little more deeply.
Yeah.
He thinks about commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And he matures.
His next ball.
So I tend to look at it that way. I think that I've had men in my practice, for example, who never really had a relationship they didn't cheat in.
Mm.
They were in my office to figure out how to commit.
Oh, that's nice. Mm. I like that.
So we go through the steps, you know. We try to work, you know, to understand what happened in previous relationships. And maybe there was something in the family, you know. Dad cheated on mom, and it sort of became a multi-generational thing. Something like that
right.
can happen, you know.
Right.
But eventually, if it's successful, the man gets the point of his personal needs, you know, his need for love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the foundation can be built, you know, a man's need for love and depth of love.
Women
want
to be
the only one. That's what commitment is. It's depth of love.
Right.
Oftentimes what cheating involves is the more superficial, sexual, mm-hmm. the conquering, the sexual, getting something that your relationship is not providing you. That's very common. Triangles
right.
get set up.
Right, right. Well, you know who has a recipe for love right now, Doctor, is Harry Connick Jr. on his one of his CDs. So hold on tight, and
okay.
we're going to hear a little Harry. I'm just wild about Harry. Recipe for love.
Carol, do you have my soup?
We are back live on air with Dr. Jordan. I'm going to say the doctor of love. I just have to because he's...
Oh, I can't live up to that.
You're filling us in all kinds of wonderful things that we need to know this evening. And so, by the way, for everybody just tuning in, you're listening to Some Like It Hot on Sun FM 91.3 KSBY Sonoma. I'm Diana Don. I've got Ro-Ro with me this evening. And, of course, we've got Dr. Jordan on the air. And we're having a great time. He's got, you know what, Doctor, you've got a workshop coming up. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that and giving us a link?
I have to go and find that. Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess people can go to the Love Life Learning Center.
Yeah, they can go directly there, and there'll be a link to the workshops from
Perfect.
That homepage. That's the easiest way to do it.
And isn't it on Valentine's Day, or is it tomorrow that it's happening?
It's happening tomorrow, and it's happening. There's another one. I'm doing a pre-Valentine's Day workshop tomorrow, mm-hmm. a free one, matter of fact. Where people can ask questions about anything, any issue, love life issue,
mm-hmm.
And also we're doing one next. We're offering. It's on dealing with a love triangle for people who've fallen in love with someone who's married.
Mm-hmm.
We've received so many comments on several posts I've written on that theme. There's really a lot of people who are heartbroken. In a love triangle, trying to figure out what to do. So,
yeah, I bet.
That prompted me to put together a workshop for that issue.
Well, that's great. That is so great. I definitely want to log on. And you got a great blog there, by the way.
I'm having fun with that blog. I really am.
Aren't they fun to write?
Oh, absolutely. I write them late at night. Everyone goes to bed, and I'm writing on the blog.
That's the best time to do it. You have all the thoughts of journal that you're just screaming out to everybody else.
Yeah, my wife, come to bed!
I can imagine you...
it's not that bad.
I can imagine you walking on a stage, talking to somebody, and the band plays some nice little Barry music. And then somebody comes on, ladies and gentlemen, the love doctor's about to speak.
Oh, my
you know?
God.
That would
Where
be,
is he?
Yeah. Then here you come out, you know, with a cape and... pistols in the air, you know, and stuff. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Hey, you know, there was a doctor of education called Leo Buscaglia.
Yes.
You may recognize his name. He wrote a lot of books on love, little paperbacks that you can still get.
He owes me $5, I remember.
You know this guy, right?
I know this guy.
And he went to UCLA, I think it was UCLA Berkeley, was teaching there, and he went to the administration and said, this was in the 70s, I want to teach a love class, he said. And they sort of giggled and laughed, Leo, come on, you know, we know you're a loving guy and all of that. But they tried to dissuade him and discourage him, but he kept on. So they said, we'll do it for non-matriculated, no credit, you know. And you know that it was overflowing with people. Over-enrolled for 4 years straight.
Yeah.
The cup runneth over, huh?
Cup runneth over, standing room only. And he was so humbled by that. But I remember reading that and thinking, man, that's a sign. That's a sign that love life issues, that there's definitely room for learning. People wanted to know.
Everybody needs it. Everybody needs you,
yep.
Doctor. Yes.
True.
Right. They should do more of it.
Right, oh, yeah. Right, exactly. Well, I'm so
it's
glad
missing.
You're doing
it's
this.
Missing.
It is missing. Well, you know, I have some more questions here, and it's about celebrities again. You know, a lot of these people in Hollywood, the Hollywood types, they seem to fall in and out of love so quickly, and it's like as soon as you think, you know, they're talking about this one relationship, 2 days later they've broken up and they've got another relationship. I mean, and I'm saying relationship, not just dating. It's like their new boyfriend, their new husband, they're engaged, they're pregnant. I mean, I don't understand that lifestyle. I would say, what, you know, here, look at Elizabeth Taylor. You know, look how many, I think she was married 7 times, and a few of them were with back and forth with Richard Burton. So, I mean, what do you think about that whole lifestyle of the celebrities and the quickie, you know, marriages and in and out of relationships? And I mean, how do you describe that being love? Are they just, is their cup just
public
runneth
eye.
Over?
I mean, public eye, I think, has a lot to do with
that. How can people just fall in and out so often and so quick?
I'm afraid to say I think marketing is mixed in with it. And what I mean by that is I think that oftentimes celebrities think of their public image, mm-hmm. I believe, yes. and who they're choosing and how quickly they get in and out of relationships. And I think that might account for this the superficiality of it. You know, I think when people go deeper, the tendency would be to do less of that. Because when you lose a relationship, you really feel it, and you have to recover.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from my first marriage. No,
right. It takes a while, doesn't it?
And it was all, you know, one of those things where I knew, this is so funny, I actually knew after the first year that it was probably a mistake, but I hung in there for 10 years. But like I say, you know, here it is 10 years later, and I'm still just feeling like, wow, that was just kind of sad because I had such high hopes. And the first 3 months are always so magical, you know?
Yep.
And then that's why I'm wondering if I'm even marriage material again, because I just.
Oh, you definitely are. You know, I can tell.
How?
You hung in there for 10 years.
She's also got the goods, too. I mean, you know, I sit next to her all the time, and I got to tell you.
There you go.
I might pop the question myself, you know.
Hey, with the right guy, that loyalty.
There you go.
Will be an asset.
Well, see, I'm very good with being loyal. That's the whole thing. I stayed in there way too long until it's just you know.
Yeah, and I can understand your reluctance to jump in. I mean, I would be if I had that loyalty. But I'm saying that loyalty issue, which I do have it. You know, I've been married for 19 years.
Wow.
And I got married late. I got married. I'm 59 right now, and I got married when I was 41.
Wow.
Only 19
married.
Years.
My wife is 5 years younger than I am.
Hey.
And that was, you know, and my parents are still together. My father's 93 and my mother's 89.
Wow.
And they got married when my father was 21 and my mother was 18.
Interesting.
So I think some of that was taught to my brothers and myself, you know. Long-term relationship, you know, work
right.
on it, that kind of stuff. But and I think that kind of value is important, you know. That and you can teach people that. You know, I've had plenty of patients who I've had patients in my office who were taught to have a certain kind of relationship. You know, like my, you know, their fathers cheated and had other women, but were providers and took care of the wife and the kids. But they had other interests outside of the marriage, which kept the marriage from being, you know, it kept a certain depth, but not deeper. And the son now, a man, is trying to figure out whether or not he should live the way his father lived.
Ah, interesting.
But, his father was in another culture where that kind of behavior was encouraged and respected. Now in the United States, he's sort of saying, should I live like that? And the woman I married is an American woman who is will divorce me if she catches me cheating.
Different
but in
values.
My culture, where I was from, that kind of thing is acknowledged as a thing that men do. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting transcultural issue when love is concerned. So, and I think it's possible for someone like that to make decisions about how they want to live once they understand the emotions involved and the attachments involved and what they might be identifying with, for example, in relation to their parents.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I know that plays a huge role in my relationships, too, is my upbringing. And I was always, and I still am, I'm the type of person I love people. I love animals. I love life. I love cheesecake. You know, I love so much and so deep, and I think that's why I get so hurt. Because my expectations, I know my expectations are super high. And, you know, the other thing, I think because I grew up with girls, I grew up with sisters. We didn't have a brother. And so I really am learning about men through my relationships.
There you go. And I would add for you, if I may be so bold as to make a suggestion, I would say making good choices would be an area to look into.
Yeah. You're so cute the way you said that. I'm being careful. I had my finger on the dump button just in case. No, I'm joking.
Right.
I'm joking.
Bye, Tom.
So, but I think the tough thing is that I think each time that I'm making good choices, and here's the reason why, it's because it's not just a physical attraction. There's like a chemistry that happens where it's almost like fireworks go off, and I just feel like I know that this is the guy that I'm supposed to be with, and maybe not forever.
But here's the thing. When the fireworks commence,
yes,
it's important to leave a little light on in the area of consciousness to ask oneself, is this the one? Who is this person that I'm having such strong feelings for? And it's very easy to say, but much harder to do when you're in the middle of that feeling. But I think that makes a world of difference. I mean,
yes.
I've worked with people who've had multiple relationships with people who were the same kind of person. You know, it was a limited relationship. It wasn't someone they could really commit to, but they tried each time and they were disappointed and hurt. And what was really important was to build in an ability to analyze a little bit, to think it through, to notice, to get those expectations and to add a little time and patience to it and build a relationship and look for signs of things that are not compatible with a loving relationship, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps tremendously. It's not 100% and it's not foolproof, but it helps.
Right. Okay, we're going to go to another song right now, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes with Dr. Jordan. And I have been having a fabulous time. We only have, a few minutes left. So I just wanted to mention again, for anybody that's been listening, and if you want to find out more information about Dr. Jordan, you can go to Love Life Learning Center. Is it all straight through? I believe it is
all straight through.
Yes, it's all one word. Okay. LoveLifeLearningCenter.com. And then there's a great workshop tomorrow that everybody can log into and enjoy. And so, Dr. Jordan, we were just talking about your workshop and how exciting it is that, you know, we can all have access to you at any time. And so I'm loving that. Does that mean 24/7? Do you ever sleep?
Oh, me? Yeah, well, I do.
Good. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. So is there anything else that you would like to share that you think is of utmost importance for us to know about Valentine's? Because first, let me just say, this is, you know, for people who are not in relationships, it's kind of a really high anxiety time and time when maybe you feel extra lonely or you feel like you should be in a relationship because, look at, you know, what's wrong with me? Everybody else is out there having fun and just having the most romantic evening of the year and I'm alone. So what do you say about that?
Yes, I would say that the way we define love at the Love Life Learning Center is we've stretched the definition to include the love of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's an extremely important one of those principles when it comes to healthy loving, to have a healthy relationship to oneself. I mean, oftentimes people don't think in those terms, you know, the relationship you have with yourself. But I think that's an important area to not only think about, but to work on. And during the periods when you're not in a relationship, it's an important time to work on oneself. Loneliness is a sign, I think, that that relationship needs a little bit of work.
Yes.
And sometimes the work can be as simple as thinking through what you need, what changes you may need to make in your life, for example, to feel better about yourself or kind of growing you can do, you know, whether it involves personal growth on your own or in a counseling relationship, or, you know, just thinking about, how to change your love life, like, you know, what's happened in the past. And so there's different ways in which you can work on that relationship to yourself, and I think that's important.
Well, also, it should be a little important to also have some time on your own, too. You know, because you need to think things. The bouncing, you know, in and out of relationship thing, that's not healthy either, because you're trying to find what you could have had with the previous person in the next person that may not be there.
Right, and you know, when you get into a relationship, there are elements of that that go with you.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of just, okay, I've fallen in love, and now my free time, my time to myself is gone. I think there's an important balance. You touched upon a very important balance. There's a balance between togetherness and preserving one's individuality in a relationship. And I think that's the kind of balance that keeps the love life healthy.
Certainly.
Well, that's been such wonderful information for everybody to hear this evening. And thank you again so much for calling in and taking the time to share your thoughts. And again, this is Dr. Thomas Jordan with the Love, or just Love Life Learning Center.com, or the Love Life Learning Center. And we hope to have you on again sometime, Doctor.
Thank you. Anytime.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed myself tremendously.
Good.
Meeting both of you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well,
you too.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and your loved ones, Dr. Jordan.
To the two of you.
And everybody out there as well, we hope you have a fabulous Valentine's week or evening, whether you're sharing it with a loved one, a spouse, or maybe just your pets or your parents or your kids. I mean, we all have somebody or something that we love. And I'm going to go home and share it with my pets, who I love so much. And thank you again for tuning in. We'll be here every Tuesday. Roro will be back next Tuesday with some special guests, Madeline Wild and Bill Stallings. So coming up next, we've got David Hinckley with